Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. Watching two people get into a ring and throw punches at each other is some people's definition of entertainment. For some, boxing is a philosophy for life. Today, we're taking a look into the sport of boxing in Native America. We want to find out what it takes to be a fighter and to see why the sport has become more popular in our Native communities. What does boxing mean to you and your Native community? Join our conversation about boxing after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Police in Canada have arrested a man in connection to the death of an Aboriginal girl in Manitoba more than a year ago. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, her case intensified calls for a national investigation into missing and murdered women and girls, something that will now happen.
It was in August of last year that police pulled the body of 15-year-old Tina Fontaine out of the Red River in Winnipeg. She had run away from her home where she lived with her aunt and uncle on the Sidkeen First Nation and headed to Winnipeg. In the Manitoba capital, she was in the care of Child and Family Services and was being housed at a hotel. She ran away from that hotel and from child care workers. Her body was found less than 2 weeks later. 53-year-old Raymond Cormier was arrested by police in Vancouver in connection with Fontaine's death. Police say the two had met on several occasions at a Winnipeg residence both had frequented. Cormier has a long criminal history that includes violence. Thelma Favelle is Fontaine's great aunt. She says she's still struggling with the loss.
It's never, ever going to be over because she's gone forever. So even with them catching him, it's never going to be over.
Tina's death also intensified calls for a national inquiry into missing and murdered Aboriginal women and girls, something the new Canadian government announced will now happen. Carolyn Bennett is the Federal Minister of Indigenous and Northern Affairs.
Tina was a girl. It became household words that people knew this had to stop, and I think it did galvanize the nation.
The Grand Chief of Northern Manitoba First Nations, Sheila North Wilson, said her heart goes out to Tina's family, and she prays they feel some sense of relief over the arrest. And Winnipeg's Deputy Police Chief said Tina was a child, and her death shocked and outraged the community and was felt across the country. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
A substitute village police officer from a dry community in Alaska is in jail awaiting trial, charged with supplying alcohol to a minor last month and raping her. He received an award this year from the Alaska Federation of Natives. And as KNOM's Emily Russell reports, his case raises questions about how VPOs are vetted.
Brent Norton was presented with an award at AFN for his response to a shooting in Selawik this summer.
The Glenn Godfrey Law Enforcement Award is given to Alaska Native law enforcement officer who has shown outstanding dedication to the safety of the public in Alaska. The Glenn Godfrey Law Enforcement Award goes to Putnamu Brent James Norton from Selawik.
29-year-old Norton allegedly supplied a 16-year-old girl with alcohol and later raped her while she was unconscious. The Selawik Clinic received a call from Norton just before 1 a.m. when he described the girl as cold and not breathing. Emergency responders spent 20 minutes trying to resuscitate her before she was declared dead. But Norton's record was far from clean before this year. In both 2006 and 2012, Norton was charged and pled guilty to transporting alcohol to a dry village. Then in June of this year, he was charged with giving alcohol to a 13-year-old girl. So how did he get hired as a substitute VPO in a dry village? Chris Hatch, program coordinator for Village Public Safety Officers in the Northwest Arctic Borough, explains.
According to Alaska statute, only a village can hire a village police officer.
To be clear, a VPSO, which is what Hatch oversees, goes through extensive training and vetting compared to what a VPO is put through. But there are some safeguards in place. For example, a person convicted of a felony in the last 10 years is ineligible. The incident in June of this year, when Norton supplied alcohol to a minor, was a Class C felony. But Norton was a substitute VPO, so under even less scrutiny. Norton's involvement in the death of a Selawik teen will add another felony to his record if he's convicted. I'm Emily Russell.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by the National Indian Health Board. Open enrollment for the health insurance marketplace ends January 31st. Many Indian health clinics are hosting enrollment events with help available. You may qualify for low-cost plans, zero copays, and deductibles. More info at healthcare.gov/tribal.
Kwanek Broadcast Corporation is accepting artwork and reservations for the Alaska Native Art Auction, taking place February 18, 2016 in Anchorage, Alaska. Over 400 business leaders and executives attend this annual event. Proceeds benefit Kwanek's news programming. Learn more at knba.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. You know what that music means. It's time to stand like a champ, and perhaps it means a boxing champ for some of you. What is it about boxing that people love so much? It's intense and uses a lot of force, and you have to take a punch and deliver them back just as hard as your opponent. People get bruised and bloodied, and some flat out call it violence. But again, what is the allure of this sport? And despite the pain, many say there's gain. And there's no shortage of men and women who can't wait to get in the ring. And there are plenty of people who love to watch. So what is it that makes these athletes tick? Today we're going to hear from three Native boxers. One of them didn't get serious until after he took a beating from lightweight heavyweight champ Marcus Oliveira. And then he became Oliveira's boxing coach. And what about you? Are you a boxer? Are you a fan? And what is it about this sport that gets you excited? Join our conversation by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And joining us from Lawrence, Kansas is Eric Riley, and he's a boxing coach and head of the Haskell Boxing Club, and he's White Mountain Apache. It's our pleasure to have Eric with us. Welcome to Native America Calling, Eric.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Eric, when we play that music, I think a lot of people's ears perk up, and many of us think of the movie Rocky, and for a lot of folks, that is their introduction to boxing. And Eric, when you think of boxing, you know, how much bigger is it than the movie of Rocky? Go ahead, Eric.
I don't know how to explain. I don't know. With Rocky, you know, it's fictional and everything, but you know, it's a lot like it. You know, you got to have a lot of heart. You know, people like when the first movie that he lost, and you know, and I just think, it's just everybody's first intro to boxing, and I don't really know what else to say about it.
And Eric, I think it's exciting to have you on the hour with us because you know what it means to be in the ring. Let's go to a pivotal point in your boxing life. Tell us about getting into the ring with Marcus Oliveira and going face to face with him and really taking some punches. Why was this an important fight? Go ahead, Eric.
Well, when we first started, I was I didn't know anything about boxing. You know, I knew Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson, and that was pretty much it. And, you know, we just had I just invited everybody to come to my house, and we would fight in my garage, and we put gloves on and just beat each other up. And there was really no science, just throwing as hard and as fast as you can and blocking them with your hands and your head. And I thought I was doing pretty good, you know, and I held my own just from, you know, fighting on the res and, you know, fighting wherever. And so I thought, you know, in my mind, it was always the biggest and the strongest one. And, you know, and when Marcus came up and everybody was scared of him, I wasn't, you know, I was like, line him up. You know, I'm not scared. You know, You know, he was 6'1", about 180, and, you know, I was about 6'1", 6', about 100, you know, 240 pounds. So, and he hit me with a really hard shot that I've never been hit by before, and I didn't see it coming. I just started wailing my hands, running after him, trying to hit him, and, you know, just that, see that red, you know, seeing red and just wanting to hit him back, and his defense was moving, and, you know, so I was missing him and getting hit at the same time, and, you know, it's frustrating, and it was done in 30 seconds. You know, he threw a hook, and my it was so quick that my eye didn't even blink, and it, you know, hit me right in the eyeball. So, you know, I saw a triple, and I couldn't shake it off. So, you know, one of my buddies saved my life, because I would have tried to, probably would have kept going until I was knocked out. But my buddy jumped in, and he said, hey, that's good. You know, he stopped it. And from that moment on, I knew, you know, it's a skill. It's not who's bigger and stronger, but who's more skilled. And, you know, now that I'm in it, it's a lot of skill and, you know, who's smarter.
Thanks, Eric. And, you know, you hear that from a lot of boxers, that the sport is more than just what you're seeing. It's more than just punches being thrown or taken. There's a lot of lessons to be learned that we hear from boxers. Folks, if you would like to share your thoughts on boxing, what it's brought to your life, maybe you're not the one in the ring, but you have a family member who is, you can call in and talk about their impact in the ring. Call us right now. We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848 is our number. And why is boxing important to you? Again, our number, 1-800-996-2848. Eric, we're going to say hello to Brian. He's in Fort Belknap, Montana. Today, he's listening to KGVA Radio. Brian, thank you for your call. And what would you like to say on boxing?
I've just been a huge fan since the 80s, the Four Horsemen, you know, Hagler, Hearns, Duran, Leonard. To Eric's point, you know, as a fan, I have a real good understanding and knowledge of boxing. You know, it is the science of hit, don't get hit, and the most dangerous punch is the punch you don't see, you know. As of late, I've been to 5 Manny Pacquiao fights down in Vegas. Been to Friday Night Fights. I actually had my mug on the screen when I interviewed fighters. I've met different pros like Roy Jones Jr., Floyd Mayweather Sr. Got to meet Comanche boy, George Tadanafer, and just been a huge fan. And when I was actually in radio working at KGVA, I had the like what I like to call the hottest boxing show in all the sports, in all the Indian radio, excuse me. And I called it the sparring session, and that's all we would talk for about an hour, hour and a half, was just straight boxing. And my credible co-host was Mr. Kieran Mulvaney of HBO Sports, and it was a blast. And missed out on, you know, Pacquiao Mayweather, but, you know, definitely going to be going back to some fights, you know, in the future down in Las Vegas.
And Brian, when you think about bringing that to your community, why do you think so many people like to hear about boxing or even watch it?
Well, you know, it's a brutal sport. It really is. And, you know, you talk to the old timers, and way back when, that's what was on the front pages of sports: boxing, horse racing, and baseball, which is some of my favorite sports. You don't really see it nowadays. But, you know, kind of as a traditionalist and someone that grew up like that, you know, I still favor it, you know, over MMA and anything else. It's just, you watch boxing and that excitement. And let me tell you, it's different watching it on TV than being there live. My first bout I've ever been to was Pacquiao Hatton. And being in that arena of 16,000 people and the noise, the cheering, the crowd, the excitement, and just that knockout blow that he delivered, that Pacquiao delivered to Hatton. Man, it sends a different adrenaline rush through your whole body as opposed to seeing it on TV. And I was like, man, I need to talk about this. I need to find someone. And one day I just happened to email Kieran Mulvaney, and he agrees. Like, yeah, sure, let's talk boxing. You know, you bet. I'll give you some of my time. And it just, totally, thrilled me to talk about it, you know, live on radio. And we had a pretty good following. People would email me with questions. We'd get some people call in. And to bring it back, I guess, kind of to the forefront, not only in our community, but a little bit throughout Indian country, it was a sense of satisfaction. And my biggest highlight when I was doing radio was I got to, and I like to call it my 15 seconds of fame, I got to interview the late, great Burt Sugar, who is hands down the greatest boxing historian of all times. That was my peak right there. It just could not get any better than that.
Brian, you totally sound like a fan. And it's a great way of the use of public radio to just get out there and bring that conversation that probably people are itching to hear on their own airwaves. Brian, great to hear from you. And folks, you can also chime in too by calling our number, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And maybe you have a boxer in the family. What do you do to support them? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. Eric, any comments that you'd like to add? Brian gave us a lot, even talking about watching it on TV versus being there on the sidelines. Eric, any comments?
Yeah, definitely. I went to one live show. You know, it's a little local show in Topeka, Kansas, and that was my first, you know, intro to boxing. And you know, I thought it was neat. We got to get in the front and everything. And but after that, you know, that was my first and last time, pretty much, in the audience, because I started boxing and we started, you know, being behind the scenes instead of being in the crowd. And I think once we were behind the scenes, man, it is very hard to be in the crowd anymore. It's, you know, I'm just too fidgety. I want to go in the back and meet everybody and talk to everybody and, you know, be around the fighters, the atmosphere, you know, and watch them come out from behind the light instead of, watching them come towards you. I'm watching them walk out there, and, you know, all that is just, you know, more exciting, I think, too, is, you know, seeing them get ready, talking to their managers, talking to their coaches, and, you know, talking to their trainers, just, you know, picking their brains, you know, talking to the fighters themselves, and, you know, just watching them get ready. That was, you know, a lot of good, you know, stories there, just doing that also.
And Eric, what do you think are the benefits of boxing?
Well, I think, you know, it's a lot of it is discipline. You know, discipline is, I think, the number one is self-discipline on top of that, you know, because you can't just go to the gym and expect what you do in the gym to take you through everything. You know, you got to be going in the gym and then doing stuff on your own, you know, and making yourself better. You know, like Vernon Forrest came to our gym and was talking to us, and he said he would go to the gym, and when the gym was over, he would start doing his own thing. And all the kids would say, you know, hey, Vernon, practice is over. What are you doing? And he says, that was for the coach. This is for me. You know, so a lot of it, you know, the self-discipline, you know, is, I think, the major thing that comes out of it.
Very nice. Thanks for that, Eric. And I know you're going to be with us the full hour. Here with us on the line is Eric Riley. He's joining us from Lawrence, Kansas, and he's a boxing coach and head of the Haskell Boxing Club. Have you trained under him? Send him a shout out. Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. Eric, let's get a take from somebody who's in the ring as well. We're going to say hello to Wes Nofire. He's in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. He's known as the Cherokee Warrior, and he has an undefeated heavyweight, or he is an undefeated heavyweight contender and a citizen of the Cherokee Nation. Welcome to Native America Calling, Wes.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. And Wes, for you, what do you feel are the benefits of boxing?
First, for me, it's a healthy lifestyle. That's kind of one of the main reasons I got into it after my basketball career, was something to stay active and doing. But to me, that's one of the biggest benefits. That kind of goes for everybody who enjoys the sport. If you pick up a pair of gloves, you can go work out. And it's one of the most inexpensive forms of working out. You know, you can go to the gym. A lot of gyms have different boxing bags, and you get your pair of cheap gloves. And it's a good, healthy way of staying fit.
And so, Wes, how did you get your start in boxing?
Well, like I mentioned, I was a basketball player, very successful in high school, and decided not to go play college ball. So looking to do something to stay active and still kind of give me a competitive drive. And boxing happened to be something that was closer to me than I was before. Growing up in rural Oklahoma, I didn't have a gym when I was younger. So I had a gym when I moved to Tulsa and found my way there and started boxing and then found out that I had a pretty good niche for it and started competing as an amateur and went to nationals. Within the first couple of years of being an amateur fighter, and decided that was something I should take up and be real serious on. And so that's where it kind of got me at today.
And Wes, I know you definitely have a following. Tell us about your last fight.
Yeah, my last fight was in Miami, Florida, which has a big Cuban population. And it just so happened that my opponent was Cuban and from Miami. So it was pretty intense going into the fight. Had a lot of people cheering for him and not so many for myself, which is kind of the opposite. I fought a lot here in Oklahoma, where I'm from. I fought abroad, but I've never had just an entire crowd really going against me. And so that was, to me, it was fun. I liked the fact that whenever someone was hitting me, you'd hear the crowd go, ooh, no, but then, you know, it didn't faze me. I was able to come right back and cut my opponent pretty good in the second round, and then just continued to kind of go for his eye because I knew it was bothering him. There was blood getting in his eye. And then just once I hit him with a couple of good shots, I think it was an uppercut and a left hook, he decided to kind of go on a real big defense and go up against the ropes. And about the last 45 seconds of the fourth round, I just didn't let off of him. I just kept putting pressure and pressure on him. I thought I was going to knock him out, but I was nevertheless putting a lot of hurt on him, and it ended up hurting him enough to where he couldn't continue the fight after the fourth. So ended up getting a fourth round TKO, and that was my 19th victory and a good way at the end of the year.
All right, thanks for that, Wes. And boxing fans, today is your chance to tell us why you love this sport. Call us right now. We want to hear from you. And maybe you have a couple of boxers that you like to watch or follow. Call in and tell us about your favorite boxer. Tell us about your favorite native boxer. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And maybe you're a boxer training for your next competition. Does your tribe host a boxing tournament? Call in and tell us about it. 1-800-996-2848. Gentlemen, we're going to say hello to one of our callers. We have Michael in Jemez Pueblo tuned in on KUNM. Michael, thank you for your call. And what would you like to say about boxing?
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Yeah. Well, my uncle, Simon Toya, he was in the U.S. Army. He was a really good boxer, and he was runner-up in the Olympics back in the day. But, you know, he needed somebody to drop out in his weight category, but that didn't happen. But it still was, it was very, you know, enthusiastic, and his sons, a few of them have taken up the training and the attitude and discipline, because it's just like, this sport is like going back to the Romans and Greeks, you know, the Olympics, you know, humans, and it brings like a game of chess where you're trying to outwit your opponent. You're trying to think of what your opponent's going to do, and also the training. God, you gotta run, you gotta eat right, you gotta watch your weight, and then you gotta weight train just for your strength. And I used to watch my grandpa back in the day. He would watch. Every time boxing would come on in black and white TV, we'd run and get him, and he'd come over to the TV, and you could see the excitement in his face. You know, it awakens like the warrior mentality in most of Native America. You know, we have that competition. We have that. We want to. You know, we have that. And at the same time, it's sportsmanship. You know, at the end, you shake each other's hand, and you love the sport so much that you love your competitor. So it's all in one.
All right, Michael, thank you for your call there in Jemez Pueblo. Folks, share your thoughts, too, by calling in 1-800-996-2848. Gentlemen, what do you think about the point Michael raised about it extending to a warrior mentality? Eric, let's start with you.
Could you repeat the question?
Do you think that boxing is all about a warrior mentality, much like our caller Michael said?
Well, yeah, I agree with him. You know, that's what I tell, you know, all the boxers that come to the Haskell boxing, and you know, when the majority of them are native that are going to Haskell, and I tell them the same thing. You know, it's just that warrior mentality, and we are all born with it, you know, and I tell them we are, you know, we're weapons, and, you know, we're born weapons, and all we got to do is just sharpen up. And I think our mentality in that is, you know, it's a little dusty, and all of them just need to brush it off. And, you know, and a lot of them, you know, they just, a lot of them work hard, and they want to learn. So, you know, that warrior mentality is just, you know, helps them, you know, bring it to the gym, and, you know, it really shows that, you know, that the warrior's still there. All you got to do is they just got to brush off the dust and get in there.
All right. Thanks, Eric. And Wes, what about you? What do you think about it giving a place for a warrior mentality? Hello, Wes, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am there. I'm sorry. I kind of cut out for a second.
No worries.
Yeah, you know, I agree 100% with what Eric was saying. You know, you have to go across all of Native American history and everything that we've been through, and the fact that our generations before us had did everything to do to survive until what point we have now. And that blood of their survival runs through our veins, and that gives a lot of Native Americans just that mentality. Whether it's boxing or any other sport or anything that you do, you kind of feel the competitive side of you to hold strong to your beliefs and trying to relay that to other people. And that has to do with the fact of where we come from and everything that we've been through as a whole Native American society.
All right, thanks for that, Wes. And you just heard from Wes Nofire. He's also known as the Cherokee Warrior, and he's an undefeated heavyweight contender, a citizen of the Cherokee Nation. If you'd like to talk to him directly, call us 1-800-996-2848. And we're also curious to hear more about what the sport of boxing brings to our communities. We know there are tournaments throughout the year of all ages, young to not so young. And why do people step into the ring? I'd like to hear from you. Call in, tell us why. Why people step in the ring, why they devote years, why they jump into careers when it comes to boxing. Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. All aspects are welcome. And maybe we have some coaches out there. What were some of the great moments that you had helping athletes to see their potential or use their potential in the boxing ring? Call us 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And if you've ever witnessed an amazing moment in your own tribal nation in the boxing ring, call in and tell us about it. We're ready. This month marks 125 years since the massacre at Wounded Knee Creek. The incident took the life of as many as 300 Lakota men, women, and children whose bodies were left on the plains of South Dakota. Many question what triggered the attack, and today there are many still healing from it. Join us for a talk about the Wounded Knee Massacre on the next Native America Calling.
Oh,
Don't become a scam victim when applying for online loans. Watch out for unlicensed lenders who aren't interested in your credit history, but ask you for your personal information and bank account number. You could be dealing with scammers who want to steal your identity and drain your bank account. This message is brought to you by the Consumer Protection Unit of the Alaska Office of the Attorney General. Support by the National Indian Health Board. Open enrollment for the health insurance marketplace ends January 31st. Many Indian health clinics are hosting enrollment events with help available. You may qualify for low-cost plans, zero copays, and deductibles. More info at healthcare.gov/tribal.
Welcome back. You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo. And our focus today is the sport of boxing. It's popular in many communities, and our guests today say it's because there's a warrior mentality within all of us. Have you turned to boxing for this reason? And do boxers have something to prove? What about stepping into the ring to get exercise? Is that why you spend hours at the gym practicing your punch? Or do you do it for the fun of competition? Or are you a fan? If so, what is it about this sport that has you hooked? Give us a call and tell us how you connect to boxing, or tell us about your favorite Native boxer. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And on the line with us today from Tahlequah, Oklahoma, is Wes Nofire, also known as the Cherokee Warrior, and he is an undefeated heavyweight contender and a citizen of the Cherokee Nation. Welcome back, Wes.
Hey, thanks.
And Wes, before the break, we were talking about a warrior mentality. Well, you have that name in how people know you. You're known as the Cherokee Warrior. Anything you want to share about how you got that name?
Actually, I kind of got the name when I was introduced to our tribal council. I had a couple of professional fights, and they introduced me to that. I had heard it a couple times before, but that was the first time it stuck with me, and that's why I was like, oh, hey. If I'm getting recognized at it from other people, especially by members of our tribe, status members of our tribe, I was thinking, you know, I got to stick with this. And I knew I had that mentality anyways, but being recognized as being my fight name and being introduced to people as the Cherokee Warrior, it's quite prideful to be.
And Wes, what does it mean to have that support of your nation behind you for jumping into this sport?
You know, it's recognition that I'm not only support of the tribe, but just being successful in it and knowing that what I'm doing not only is impactful for my own life, but also impactful to the people that I've grown up around and the people that I maybe don't know and the people throughout Facebook. And just like many callers today, I may impact them. I don't know. But that having that sense from my tribe and their support for me, it's one of the biggest factors that continues, allows me to continue my career, just the support alone.
Thanks for that, Wes. And folks, you know, what? How do you feel when you go to a boxing event and you see a Native person in the ring? Does it bring forward tribal pride? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. Wes, we have another caller on the line. Let's say hello to Heart Warrior in Knit Lake, Minnesota. Tuned in on KBFT. Thank you for your call, Heart Warrior. And what would you like to tell folks?
Oh, well, how I got started. I'm 70 right now. But how I got started is my father was an undefeated Golden Glove boxer. And so when we were real little, my brother and I, he did a test on us. He was holding a bow and arrow in one hand and a doll in the other. And my brother went first, and he took the bow and arrow. And then when I went, I had to have both, and I got both. And then after that, my dad started showing me his boxing technique because I inherited the gift, but my brother didn't for fighting. And I used to love it. I fought at least four days a week up through high school, and it made all the atoms in my body sing. It made me feel really good. And I wasn't in it to really hurt anybody. I didn't try to hurt anybody. I just wanted to neutralize them. And I was very small, and so I was faster, but not as powerful. but that doesn't matter if you're faster. Anyway, so I always liked it.
Well, Hart Weyer, sounds like you took a lot away from the sport. And thanks for giving us a ring. Folks, you can also share your thoughts, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And you might be wondering, what about the ladies? What's their take on this? Let's continue to hear about that. And we're going to go ahead and go now to Lawrence, Kansas. We have Myosha Wagner on the line. She's also known as Yosh, and she's a lightweight fighter and from the Navajo and Chickasaw Nations. Welcome to the Hour, Yosh.
Thank you for having me.
And Yosh, thank you for being with us. And we're hearing a lot about what people think in Native America about this sport. And we're also learning that it is becoming more popular than ever. What do you see on the female side of the ring?
I mean, how I got started, and it's kind of, you know, just, it was kind of a fluke, I don't know, but I was the sports editor for the Indian Leader for Haskell Indian Nations University, and my first exposure was an Haskell fight. And so my job was to pretty much cover the boxing event, and I'd never been to any boxing events ever. And so what got me excited about it was I got to watch a female fight, and her name is Amanda Ettinger. And, you know, the way that she came into the ring and the way that she held herself, you know, it really caught my attention. I've been an athlete my whole life. I've played different sports, basketball, softball, cross country. I've done track. I've done rugby. So I've done a lot of different sports, and it caught my attention. And the way that she moved, again, how it was kind of like a game, a chess, and to be able to outwit your opponent and be able to move, that really, you know, kind of got me excited about it. And I wanted to learn, because, you know, it was just an amazing kind of a match. And she ended up winning the whole thing. But, you know, that was something that got me excited. And the fact that this was a sport that you have the opportunity to continue to learn. And it's not just, like you said, fighting in the ring. It goes beyond that. You know, you have to have that discipline. And, you know, how far can you push yourself, and how far can you, you know, work to get to where you are? And in a continuous sport, again, there's always something to learn. There's always something to improve on. And I think that in itself, it really helped in the ring as well as outside of the ring in my personal life as well. So
thanks, Yosh. And again, folks, we have Myosha Yosh Wagner on the line with us. She's a lightweight fighter and coming to us from the Navajo and Chickasaw Nations. If you have any questions for her or you just want to make a comment, call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. We are learning more about the art of boxing in Native America. Ask your questions or maybe even share a story, 1-800-996-2848. And Yosh, did any other inspiration come from folks that, you know, you're close to, maybe even in your family? Anything you want to share about family inspiring you to fight harder?
It was kind of funny because it was that event that kind of really sparked my interest in it. And then I actually started talking to, you know, family, and they started to see that I was doing this. And then I heard that my grandfather, he used to fight. They had a boxing in Keams Canyon where he was going to a boarding school. And so he told me about, you know, boxing. And then my dad was telling me that he boxed as well. So, I mean, it is one of those sports where you know somebody or of a friend or anybody who's actually did the boxing. And so I think in the first part of it, because I am a female, I think a lot of people were afraid for me to fight. But then once they saw how passionate I was about it, they, you know, they were behind me. And I think my family's always been behind me, but, you know, it was kind of crazy that once people found out that I was a boxer, then they would share those experiences with me. And that was really, you know, it was really interesting, and it was really good inspiration to hear, you know, what they had to go through and what it took for them to be a boxer. And, you know, sometimes they'd give me some tips and things like that. But for the most part, you know, the people who I, you know, my family and friends are very encouraging. And, you know, they really see that, you know, this is something that I really enjoy.
And Yosh, what does your mom think about it?
My mom at first, wasn't too excited, but now, I do what I when I get passionate about something, she's just behind me on it. And so she's been really supportive. And in fact, she's really the main reason this last time that I've actually started was because she had been diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer. And so that really kind of changed my mentality of, what it meant to be a warrior and what it meant to be a fighter, because my mom was there, fighting for her life. And that really encouraged me to take my boxing to the next level, because, she was just, strong and determined. And I was like, you know what, I need to have that same mentality and I need to, do the same thing. And so it's because of her that, I've been continuing to fight and always keeping her in mind. And so, she's been very supportive and she's behind me 100% as well as me being behind her. And she's in remission now and I'm so proud of her, but that was something that her and I did together, was to be able to fight and be able to overcome these hardships that was in front of us. And so she's very supportive.
All right, thanks for that, Yosh. And we're hearing different aspects from jumping into the ring. I want to go ahead and bring back another guest that we have with us today. From Lawrence, Kansas, we have Eric Riley. He is a boxing coach and head of the Haskell Boxing Club. He comes to us from the White Mountain Apache Tribe. Eric, we're hearing great things on the line today. And we're also hearing from our listening audience. Eric, we got a question that I'd like to hear your take on this. We had a caller who has a granddaughter who wants to switch from martial arts to boxing. The caller is concerned about this sport and wonders if she should encourage the switch. Eric, what's your take on that?
Well, there's a lot of studies now, too, that are showing that, boxing is less, amateur boxing especially is less harmful than they say cheerleading is a lot more dangerous than amateur boxing, and there's way more deaths and serious injury in cheerleading than there is in amateur boxing. So I would encourage that.
And any advice on if you're going to make that switch, how you get ready, because each sport comes with different abilities and things that you got to face. Any thoughts on making the switch?
Well, one big thing is, finding a good gym and finding a good coach. That's the main thing is, finding somebody that's passionate about coaching as the person is about fighting. If he wants to really learn, the coaches, a lot of the time the coaches get really inspired by their fighters and they want to help even more. And I think a lot of it, the main thing is just finding that coach and, getting the basics down. The basics is the biggest thing, the foundation of boxing. I tell all my fighters, I wanted everybody to have the same foundation, as elbows tucked, your feet, a certain way, your hands up, your chin tucked. But everybody's house is built different. So the way everybody fights is going to be different, but when you need to go back to your fundamentals, that foundation is strong.
And Wes, since our caller is asking about their granddaughter, I don't know how old the granddaughter is, but we know that some boxers do start off really young. Do you have any advice to parents of young boxers, kid boxers? What do you think, Wes?
The main thing is just keep supporting them. It's a tough sport regardless any age that you get into it. Even when you get into young, regardless what sport it is, but if you get into boxing, it becomes difficult at times. Some days are better than others in the gyms, and as long as they have that consistent positive support that they're getting from their parents or grandparents to stay with it and stay in the gym, the better they're going to get. The more time you put in it, the better you are. And that goes with anything in any aspect of life. But main thing is just give them a lot of positive reinforcement to continue staying in the gym if that's what they want to do.
All right. Thanks for that, Wes. And what about choosing a weight class? Yosh, we know that you jumped around in a couple of weight classes. How did you settle into the lightweight class?
The heaviest weight I've ever fought at was 185 plus. And right now I do fight at 132. So at the beginning, you know, it was just something that I wanted to try. And then I realized, you know, for my height and my size, you know, the girls were bigger. And so I knew that I had to get down to a lower weight, but it was also 132, only three weight classes for the Olympics for women. And 132 was one, and 165, and then 115. And the 165, it was just the girls were too big. So, you know, it was ideally for my size to come down to 132. And so that's kind of how I came down. But also, again, you know, the dedication and, you know, going into gym and really putting yourself in that setting, you have to be disciplined. You have to, you know, do the road work. You have to do the strength and conditioning. And you have to also watch what you eat, which is, you know, it's hard at times. But, I mean, with all of those things, you know, my weight started coming down. And, you know, I ideally would fight, like, around 145. But, you know, that's just because of the Olympics weight classes. So, I mean, it just where you feel comfortable. I know some people will go up and down, but you know, I feel like it's wherever you're comfortable and where you feel the best that you can do. So.
All right. Thanks for that. And Erica, as we're talking about considerations before you step in the gym, any advice to folks who are either wanting to up their game or start, you know, their path into boxing? Eric, any advice?
Well, you know, it's like I said earlier, just finding the right gym, finding the right coach, and, you know, just, you know, being ready to work. A lot of it is just, you know, repetitious. You know, everything's going to be, you know, 1,000 times. After you do it 1,000 times, you're beginning to learn it. And I think that's where we lose a lot of the, you know, a lot of people were just when they thought they were coming into the gym and I was going to teach them a trick, and they would, you know, oh, it taught me the trick how to box. Now I know how to box. But it's not. It's the hard work, repetition, doing same thing over and over and over, so it doesn't become, you know, it becomes a reaction instead of a thought process. And that's, you know, the main thing that you're going to have to be aware of going into the gym is, you know, you have to be, you know, passionate. You have to be, you know, just ready to work.
And Eric, since you do come from that standpoint as well as a coach, do you have any advice to coaches out there to help their fighters, you know, reach their potential?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I think from what I see a lot, you know, the older fighters, you know, they kind of get complacent and they kind of think they kind of know a lot of it. And I think they really try to stop learning, you know. And for me, you know, I'm always on the internet, on YouTube. I'm reading interviews. I'm, you know, reading about fighters or watching the YouTube about, you know, anything about new, you know, new drills, new techniques, you know, hand wrapping techniques, you know, just everything I can, you know, any information that will get me better at coaching. You know, I'm always in there looking for stuff. And you know, I talk to the older guys a lot, you know, and, you know, it's good information, but I think a lot of the new things I'm coming, you know, getting from the new guys that are coming in, the new boxing coaches, you know, they have one fighter and they just started boxing, but they have a different way of looking at it, a little different way of looking at things. And, you know, I learn from them also. And I think the one main thing I would say is just, you know, never stop learning, because I think when you stop learning, you know, you might as well not do it anymore.
And Eric, if you take care of your body, how long does a boxer's life or competition or their ability, you know, how long do they keep boxing? I'm curious.
You know, everything's different between everybody, you know, and I think it's how dedicated they are, how, you know, how hard they work. And, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, people box, you know, they have 300 amateur fights. They have 50 pro fights. And, you know, and it's, you know, it the damage comes up, you know, it comes up like, you know, the head trauma and stuff like that. But, you know, like Muhammad Ali, he has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fights of amateur and, you know, his amateur career alone was, you know, hundreds of amateur fights. And then his boxing career, and you add in all the sparring for that, you know, it's just, you know, you could, it just, everybody's different.
All right. And I also understand that's why you train people individually and to bring out some of their talents. Thanks for that, Eric. And Yosh, while we're asking for advice, do you have any special message to our young female boxers out there?
I would say, again, it's dedication, it's determination. And, you know, you have to, you know, if it's something that you want to do, you definitely stick with it. And I think it's not just boxing, it's anything in general. I mean, if you want something bad enough, you have to work. And you know, there are times when it gets hard and you're tired, but, you know, you have to always look at your end result, like your end goal and why you started it. But I would say, you know, if you want to do boxing, then, you know, learn as much as you can and realize that you're not going to, you know, get to the point where you have learned everything, because there's always something to learn. And, you know, just I would encourage them to keep going and keep at it and, you know, never give up. That's been my whole thing, is never give up, because you're going to have people who are going to say, oh, you can't do this or you can't do that, you know, bring you down. And, you know, that, use that as fuel and use that to become a better fighter, become a better person in general. But discipline and dedication, those are, you know, that's been the key, is keep coming and be consistent about, you know, what you want to learn, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's your story, and what's your story you want to tell? You know, is it a tragedy, or is it something that, you know, is inspiration? You know, it's dedication.
Thanks for that, Yosh. And it also sounds like we're talking about values, too, when you're picking up this sport. Wes, anything you want to leave us with on values in the boxing ring?
Main thing is work ethic. You know, you can come into the sport young, you can come into the sport old, but you can always outwork everybody. And if you take that work ethic, you can use it to any aspect of your life. You can use it in personal businesses. You can use it in a career that you have outside the boxing ring. So just establish a consistent work ethic, and you can outwork a lot of people, whether it's in boxing or anything else in life. I mean, that's something that I learned at an early age, is that regardless of your talent, you can always work harder than the next person and make up that difference of talent. And that goes across the board on anything.
All right, Wes, and where do folks follow you?
They can go to my website at nofireboxing.com. We also have a Twitter page at nofireboxing, Instagram at Wes Nofire.
All right, thanks for that. And Yosh, where do people follow you?
I have a page on Facebook right now. It's a Yosh Wagner page. They can do that. And then also we do... from time to time, put stuff on Haskell Boxing page on Facebook as well.
All right. Thanks for that. And Yosh, can you leave us with any names that have really inspired you in the boxing ring?
Eric Riley. My coach is Darren Jacobs. You know, just seeing people that are before us, I really look up to those two. I look up because, you know, when I first started, they're Native American coaches, and so that was really a big thing for me, and they've really taught me a lot, and they were the start of my boxing career. They were really encouraging, and so, I mean, I think, you know, and then a lot of people along the way, and, you know, so, but mainly those two, and then, you know, my coaches that I have now, Kevin Deo, Becky, so there's a lot of different other people, but, I mean, I think those two definitely got me started with boxing.
That's exciting. And Yosh, you know, thank you for remembering your trainers. And folks, if you do want to get in contact, too, with Eric Riley, he is in Lawrence, Kansas, and he heads up the Haskell Boxing Club. And, you know, there's so many names when we think about boxing in Native America. Yosh gave us a nice list of folks to consider, as well as others who have, you know, kept that history alive when it comes to boxing in Native America. Folks like Marvin Camel, also Joe the Boss Hip from the Blackfeet Nation. And there are many places to find out who is stepping into the boxing ring, including the website ndnsports.com. They have a whole boxing section, and you can read about latest competitions that have been going on and hear about the latest boxers. Again, that website is ndnsports.com. And if there are any young fighters out there, we're curious to hear why you are jumping in the ring too. Please do send us an email at nativeamericacalling.com. And we have reached the end of our discussion on boxing today. Thanks again to our guests, Wes Nofire, Eric Riley, and Yosh Wagner. And we're going to go now to some coverage on education in Native America. The new overhaul of the No Child Left Behind education bill, signed into law this month, is what some are saying is a step forward for Native American students. It's also the stance by U.S. Senator Martin Heinrich, who voted for Every Student Success Act. And Heinrich praises the provision that allows grants for Native American language immersion programs.
The focus on language is so critical, and it hasn't always been a robust and central part of education reform, and in this bill it really is. I think that's absolutely critical. As we know, you know, language is culture, so we need to do a much better job of making sure that there is funding to support native language immersion schools and language programs in our tribal schools.
And Heinrich and other supporters of the new law say it moves away from the focus on test scores and federal oversight that so many educators and parents complained about with No Child Left Behind. He admits the new law is not perfect, but he believes there will be opportunities to improve it over time.
While this may not be the end-all be-all, I think it will have moved the pendulum substantially back in the other direction. And the biggest thing we need to do right now is support teachers who want to teach and stop chasing people out of this profession. And I think this will be a very positive step in that regard.
And critics of the new bill argue the lack of federal oversight might be detrimental for schools that have a high percentage of low-income students. They worry local control will ease the pressure on schools that have a widening achievement gap, making them less likely to improve. And that wraps up today's program. Thanks to our crew here at Native America Calling, Native Voice One, and National Native News. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood.
Kwanic Broadcast Corporation is accepting artwork and reservations for the Alaska Native Art Auction, taking place February 18, 2016 in Anchorage, Alaska. Over 400 business leaders and executives attend this annual event. Proceeds benefit Kwanic's news programming. Learn more at knba.org.
Buju, you can enjoy the holidays and manage your diabetes. Health insurance gives you all the tools you need to stay healthy. Get covered and enjoy the season. Learn more at healthcare.gov/tribal or call 1-800-318-2596. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Miigwech.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.